What's up, everyone? It's DJ CD, and we're back for another episode, and I'm here with
Mr. Schlichty.
All right, so today I'm going to ask you a few questions about, you know, your teaching experience and the job and everything. So compared to last year, your rookie year, how would you say things are looking better this year?
Definitely better organized. Everything's a little bit clearer, I think. I understand the culture of the school a little bit better, and everything just seems to be running a lot smoother.
And how would you say the students are this year?
I think they're finally recognizing that COVID's over and it's time to get back to business. So I think a lot of them who may have been a little antsy the last year are coming around.
Yeah, for me, I personally never really was worried about it, to be honest. I got quarantined a few times, though I wasn't the one that had it, but, you know, I've been around people that had it, and I still haven't gotten it once. Like, my immune system's on fleek, man.
Yeah, or you just don't know, because a lot of people didn't get symptoms.
I've had the test before.
Oh, well, there you go.
Yeah, so I was chilling. But anyways, to further ask deeper into these questions, how do you think they've, like, improved for the teacher department this year? Is there any improvements, any unimprovements, perhaps?
You know, I haven't really been able to pay attention to that at the moment. More worried about my stuff. I can say that I don't see any negatives to anything that they've done. So,
and what would you say your teaching methods is with the kids in your classroom? Because some teachers are just like straight up to the rule book and plain boring and no one wants to listen to them. And some teachers are like, you know, are a little bit funny and like bring some extra spark to the lesson. So like you at least want to pay attention.
It kind of depends on the class, but for the most part, if students are doing what they're supposed to be doing, when they're supposed to be doing it, I'm pretty relaxed about stuff. I'm not going to sit and tally your how many times you're on the phone or, you know, say absolutely no restroom or anything like that. Try to joke around sometimes, and it goes well with some classes. Other classes just need a little bit more of that order. So
yeah, for me, I'll say it's a balance. Like, I need to have some fun and, like, you know, some breaks from, like, the lesson, but also, like, you know, be locked in for the lessons, because sometimes I may, like, be on my device for, like, too long or doing something fun for too long or, like, you know, watching a YouTube video or something just for too long. And in other case scenarios, like, you know, I, like, might do something for a few minutes or, you know, like 10 minutes maybe, and then I'm chilling and I'm locked in for the rest of the class and I'm doing well. But if I get too distracted in, like, a majority of the class, then it usually doesn't tend to go as well. But, like, if there's, like, you know, a nice little bounce between the two, I definitely learn a lot better, because, like, you know, I had my fun time, so cool, I'm ready to learn now.
Yeah,
because some teachers, like I said, like, they just get straight to the point, they do all the boring stuff, and that's where we see most of the classes that are acting up, like where the students don't respect the teacher, they talk back when the teacher doesn't want them to, they're not listening, and they're not doing the work, and they get bad grades because they don't like the teacher, they don't respect the teacher. And so for me, it's kind of a similar thing, except for, like, you know, I don't obviously act up like that unless I'm in a bad mood.
Yeah.
But anyways, so the next obvious question is, how do you feel like you've personally improved as a teacher in the past year?
I'm not as nervous, because coming to a big school where most of your professional training has been in very small environments, and my first actual year of teaching was at a smaller private school, coming to a big school was a very big change.
Yeah.
So now that I've gotten a year through, it's a little bit more calm. I have a little bit more confidence. I know what I'm doing. I don't have to go to my department chair as much, ask her for help.
Yeah.
It's more of now just clarifying questions and all that. So I think I've got a pretty good handle on this now, but there's still a lot of semester to go, so I'm sure I won't be surprised if something strikes me as like, oh, I don't know what that is.
Yeah. And then what would you say is, like, the ideal role model student you would want in your classroom? Because, like, you know, some teachers definitely have favorites for sure. What would you say would, like, put someone in that position to, like, where you'd be like, oh, yeah, I know this person's a good kid. I know they're not going to cause any trouble and I can trust this person.
Honestly, it doesn't even have to be an A student. The ideal student is someone who puts in the effort, engages with what I'm talking about. I know U.S. history for a lot is a relatively boring topic, especially when first half of U.S. history was, at this point in time, taught during a complete lockdown year. So I know a lot of that previous information isn't known, so it makes me a lot happier when students ask questions that clarify. They want to learn, and even if they're a CB student, I tend to like talking to those students more than the ones who, and there's nothing wrong with these students, by the way, who just sit there, do their work, and all that stuff. I have no problem with those students at all, but the ones who stand out are the ones that engage in the content.
Yeah, basically like Mason from our class last year.
Yeah.
Well, as funny as what he wore yesterday for the celebrity thing. Did you see what he wore?
Yeah.
Yeah, when I saw him, oh, wait, yeah, he told me he showed you, because when we was in class, I'm like, yo, have you showed this to Mr. S yet? I bet he'd find this hilarious.
Oh, I found it pretty humorous.
I really want to borrow those now, because that was too funny.
Yeah, I mean, I found it funny, but I was trying to figure out what exactly it meant.
That was great. But anyway, so you teach mainly between freshmen and juniors, correct?
I just teach juniors.
Oh, okay, cool. And so then you haven't had really too many issues. So if this year's juniors, have you really noticed a different type of energy, or is it basically like the same students you've seen last year?
It's a little bit of a calmer energy that I've noticed this year. I would say 4 out of 6 of my classes are relatively quiet. And it's not like I'm telling them they have to be. It's just
they
just are. So
gotcha.
I don't know if that's more studious or they just don't have friends in the class, if it's a luck of the draw, or if it's just the culture of the school is changing a little bit.
Yeah, I'm going to say the whole class being quiet is probably 2 things here. So one, like you said, them not having friends in the class, and then 2, some of them just actually are genuinely quiet kids. Because I know at the beginning of the year, I hated my schedule. I had some things switched around, but at the beginning of the year, all my classes, I almost didn't recognize no one in there. So I was pretty mad because, you know, like, I had no homies in there, so I was uncomfortable being around complete strangers.
Yeah.
Like, if I at least have one homie in the classroom, I can warm up to everyone else in the classroom and, you know, be chill. But when I'm not familiar to all these people, I'm not a happy camper. That's all I can say.
Yeah.
And then what made this start of the year even worse is I originally had the first 4 class periods with exes, man. Exes, bro. Mm. I know. And then I saw another ex at lunch. So, like, the whole day is just filled with the past. And I'm not trying to think about the past. I'm just focused on the now and the future.
Yes.
You know, because too many people just, you know, just they go through some things and they keep getting focused on the past and then they're just not paying attention to where they're going now and they start tripping.
Yeah.
And me, it's like once it's done, it's one and done. Like, I'm not going to be thinking about it. I'm going to keep moving, keep living life and doing what I'm doing. Yeah. I'm going to enjoy my life.
Good.
Because too many people be too sensitive over life.
Yeah.
Like, cool. She broke with you. You broke with her. Your relationship's done. Sure, it's sad, but, like, there's plenty more fish in the sea and you got to move on. Because it's simple as this. If you're not tripping over me, why would I trip over you? It's as simple as that.
Yeah.
And then some of these people here just don't treat you with the loyalty or respect in a relationship. So, like, I'm not gonna treat you with respect and want to keep dating you if I don't get that back, you know?
Yeah.
So most case scenarios, I just end up ending it. There's only one relationship I didn't end in high school. But that's besides the point. So let's get back on topic here.
Sure.
And so as you notice, they've done a lot of new things to the school, like the one hallway they entirely redone that's now beyond recognition from the previous years.
Yeah.
How do you feel about all the construction?
Well, I will say that the lot I parked in last year is closed off, so that's made things a little bit of an adjustment. Got to park all the way toward the pack and then mm-hmm. walk up to the C hall on the second floor.
That's nice.
So it adds a little bit of time to the walk. Yeah, it is exercise, but it is a little bit further of a walk, and that lot, a lot like the gym I go to, is in McCordsville because I live in Fishers, and it was easy for me to leave lot 3, the one by the science hall and the Walker Career Center on the other side.
Yeah.
And you just take a left on 16th Street, go down Midhoffer, down Pendleton Pike. That made it super easy. Now it's a little bit more difficult.
Yeah.
Where all the, you know, we're parking where the buses leave and all that stuff. So I'm usually here until after the buses leave, but those Fridays, you've got a very small window.
And I've noticed they've recently also started construction on the H hallway, which I feel like the construction on that hallway seems kind of pointless. Like, there's nothing malfunctioning with it. It looks just fine. So how do you feel about the construction on that hallway? Do you think it's really needed either?
You know, I haven't been here long enough to really know a lot of that stuff. Like, for example, last year there was no commons.
Yeah.
So seeing the new commons area, it's awesome, by the way. That just kind of, it's like, I didn't even know what everyone talked about it, and I don't even know what the commons are.
Yeah.
Because last year it was completely shut down, so I never even got to see it. So
the thing I miss about the commons is when you used to go down that one hallway, like near the Walker Career Center and stuff or whatever, there used to be a ramp you could go up and stuff to get to your history classes.
Oh, that's cool.
And so, like, freshman year, me and my friends would always go up and down the ramp and stuff and, you know, go to lunch.
Yeah.
And go to history class and whatever. And so, like, that ramp was kind of cool there. So I was kind of sad when they started doing construction on the commons and I heard they were getting rid of that ramp. I'm like, y'all are seriously getting rid of the cool thing here? I remember once, so as you're going down the ramp, there's, like, a brick wall, too, and, like, the little silver thingy that'd be on the stairs, the rail. So I jumped over the rail on top of the brick wall, and then I said, I'm Spider-Man, and then I jumped down to go to lunch. They all just stared at me like, what is this kid doing?
No one ever knows what you're doing, Cody.
Yeah, for real. I'm random like that. One minute I could be chilling, the next minute I'm either singing or doing something random. Like, I'm always just catching people on surprise because they don't know what to expect from me. Because like I said, I keep it interesting and I keep it random. And that's a good thing because, you know, predictability is pretty boring.
It is. But once again, the only thing that's unpredictable are predictable people.
You
never know what they're going to do.
It's kind of similar to reading a book. Like, you know, after you read the book, you already know what's going to happen. You might forget some details sometimes, so, you know, some things can catch you by surprise, but most case scenarios, almost everything's, you know, pretty easy to identify what's going to happen. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So since we talked about basically like a lot of the school things, what did you do over break?
Over break, I took a couple trips, one down to South Carolina to see some friends who I see about once a year. One of my good friends lives in Greenville, South Carolina, so I went to see him.
That's pretty cool.
And then in July, a group of us went to Lake James up in northern Indiana by Angola.
That's cool.
And we had a little boat trip up there for a few days. That was about a week for school, came back, and then I attended some seminars and just hung out. That's about all I did.
That's pretty cool, pretty cool. You play Xbox or PlayStation or anything?
I do play Xbox now.
So nice. Which Xbox you got?
We got a one. I don't even know what. If it was a friend's old one, and he wanted me to start playing Call of Duty with him.
Yeah, it makes sense.
So he gave me an old Xbox, and I actually got really into Assassin's Creed because I like history a lot. So
yeah,
that game is pretty spot on about a lot of the ancient writings and the writings of the day, and whichever game you're playing, it's fairly accurate historically, so it makes it kind of fun.
Yeah, that does sound pretty interesting. And then would you say Assassin's Creed's probably your favorite game that you played on the Xbox?
Yeah. Yeah, I would have to say Odyssey specifically.
Have you ever heard of, what's it called, Overwatch?
I have not.
One of my friends tried to make me play Overwatch, and it's just confusing. Why I say it's confusing? Because I never played it personally, but at lunch they'll be having all these nerdy talks about Overwatch, and I'm just staring at them like, what are y'all talking about? It's like they literally can talk the whole lunch period away every day about Overwatch, and I'm just, like, listening. And it's like hearing math equations that, when you don't pay attention to math class, you look at the math equation, you're like, what the frick is this? What am I supposed to do here? It's basically like, you know, that same equivalence.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the only thing I hate about math class is my attention always has to be there. Because, like, me, when I actually pay attention in class, like, I can easily get good grades. I don't pay attention, I still get good grades, but, like, it could honestly be better, like, you know, if I put in more effort, for sure. Because last year, during the last quarter of the year, I was about to have straight A's. I had 6 A's and a B. And then I just got burnt out and lazy, and I ended up finishing with A's, B's, and 1 C. Like, you know, got burnt out. And then right now I got a bunch of A's and B's too, but my grades keep bouncing because, like, once I get consistent and get all my work done, then something happens to where I'm missing a few assignments again, and then I get those done again. Because either I didn't know about the assignment, or I don't know. I just got a little lazy and forgot about it sometimes.
Yeah.
Or I, like, started and just didn't get to finish it and forgot about it. Because I got the worst memory on the planet. Like, sometimes I forget what I had for lunch or dinner. That's just how bad it is. Like, sometimes I'll come down the stairs a few hours later after having dinner. I'll be like, yo, Mom, what's for dinner? And she's like, you already had dinner. I'm like, no, I didn't. She's like, yeah, you did. And I'll just, like, sit there and think about it for a moment. I'm like, oh, so I did. So, like, it just really takes a minute just to, like, come into my mind what I actually had for dinner. It's pretty funny. And then also, if I remember correctly, you took a trip to Mexico last year as well, too.
I did.
So what did you do down there? Anything interesting?
So most of it was just meeting my girlfriend's family that was down there.
That's pretty cool.
Her mother is from Monterey. So I went down there and got to meet a lot of people. Uh-huh. Don't speak a lick of Spanish.
But that was fun.
Well, I mean, when I say that, I mean I can't talk to them.
Yeah,
like, I could probably say a couple things to you,
yeah,
but I couldn't talk to them. And I just remember at one point, girlfriend looks over at me, she goes, are you picking up the language? I'm like, no. You guys are talking at a million miles an hour. I don't know what you're... She's like, well, immersion's the best way. I go, yeah, but I've been down here 3 days. I figure that takes a couple months.
Yeah, that's pretty funny, though.
And at least a little base knowledge, which I'm actually working on now. Got on
that's pretty cool.
Duolingo, and then since they all speak Spanish at home, then it's now a good way to practice.
Yeah. So what's some words you probably know in Spanish right now?
Well, I learned disculpe, excuse me, cerrado, mm-hmm. closed, stuff like that. Just basic stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm on like unit 3 on duty legal of 230, so I got a long way to go.
And are you the cook or is she?
She does most of it, but I definitely pull my weight in that area because I do like cooking.
Would you say she's a good cook?
Yeah, her stuff's really good.
You know, I said no, Hispanics, most Hispanics are pretty good cooks. Not all of them, but most of them for sure.
Yeah, I will say her mom makes some stuff that's really bland, though. So,
oh, dang.
My girlfriend, since she was born in Houston,
yeah,
she's fully American, but she's been able to kind of, she knows the American palate a little bit.
Yeah.
So she's been able to make it, you know, taste better. But I will say, down there, the food that you get in Mexico is not the Mexican food you get at a Mexican restaurant.
Yeah, for sure. It's like the same equivalent to like a Chinese restaurant. Like the food you get at a Chinese restaurant is not the food you're getting in China.
Yeah. And to be quite honest, I actually kind of like the food in Mexico a lot more.